We're going to look this morning in 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be beginning in chapter 15. Last week we talked a little about, what is the effect of Jesus coming? Because, in the religious world, we get very dogmatic about the manger. And at Easter, we get very dogmatic about the cross. And you see, it's easier to celebrate the birth of Jesus than to live out the birth of Jesus in your life. Okay? Just like if we celebrate someone's birthday. It's easy to celebrate someone's birthday. Yeah, we celebrate a birthday to what? Kind of show respect. Is that why we do that? Is to honor those people? Is how we do that? But if we don't do anything with those people the whole year except on their birthday, does that celebration have any meaning or effect to that person that you're celebrating? If you only showed up at my birthday party, once a year, and the rest of the year I didn't hear nothing from you, your presence and your celebration doesn't mean anything to me. This is the point I try to make, and why I said, Happy Easter is because every Sunday should be the same. There should be no difference in a Christmas service, an Easter service, or an everyday Sunday service. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that God didn't send Jesus so that we would celebrate his birth. The song's a great song because it had in there that we would be born again, but when you really look at it, it's not about the cross either at all, is it? It's about God's great love so that we wouldn't suffer his wrath. There's a wrath coming. There's a condemnation of mankind. You're born into that. You don't get a choice in this matter. And if you do not become born again, you're going to die and go to hell. And that's how simple the message of Scripture is. And so all this religious stuff takes away from the truth of God so that Satan uses religion to blind you so that you cannot see truth and come to the saving knowledge of who God is. If you're not taught by God, you never come to the saving knowledge of who he is. If you do not fear God, you cannot have the knowledge that's needed to come to that saving knowledge. And you cannot have the wisdom, if you do not fear God, to use that knowledge to come to that saving knowledge. Grace that God gives us. So this is the things that Scripture tells us about that religious people do not tell you about, and they're lying to you and they are deceiving you on the truth of why God sent Jesus Christ. It's all about God's love for you so that you spend eternity with him. It's not about all the works that we do and all the mission trips we go on and all this stuff that we pat ourselves on the back about, but yet there's no change in character. This is about taking a nature that's contrary to God and make it into a nature that is like God. And that can only be done through a new birth experience. And if you don't experience that new birth experience, unfortunately, you're not his child according to Scripture. If the Holy Spirit doesn't live in you, you're not his. And so we talked about the effect last week that it should have on you, that there's no condemnation for a child of God. We're born under condemnation, but becoming a child of God, that condemnation is done away with, okay? So we no longer are judged by the law, but we are now judged by the grace of Almighty God. And that is that free gift that he gives us. But this gift comes with a lot of strings attached. It comes with a lot of heartache. It comes with a lot of endeavors in our lives that bring us to the end of ourselves so that God gets all of the glory. So we're going to pick up in 15. It says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? So you have to be born into the church. You don't join a church. I know we have this fallacy and we tell people you just need to get into a church and go and join a church. Joining a church and coming up and people voting on you, that's a man-made thing. That is not in Scripture, okay? You are just a member of South Elkhorn Baptist Church. You're going to die and go to hell if that's all you are, okay? I don't care what church you belong to. If that's all you are is a member of that church, you're going to die and go to hell. There's only one church. And that's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are born into that, and then we become the body of Christ. And so we are united with Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of God, to be one body. And so your bodies are members of Christ. It says, shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Do you not know that one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says the two shall become one flesh. What he is saying here is that you can't have God and you can't have the world. The Bible goes on to say you can't have two masters and serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. What this is saying is that you can't have what you want in this world and have Christ too. Okay? This is not about us coming together and getting along with God. It's about choosing between God and choosing between this world. You can't have both. Okay? It doesn't mean you can't live in this world, but the things of the world do not dominate you, and the sin in your life does not dominate you because you've been freed from that sin, so you're no longer master to sin, but now God is your master. The freedom that God gives us is a freedom to be unenslaved from sin and Satan as our father, to be betrothed to Christ and to God. And so we now become his servant. We are enslaved to God, so to speak, but not in the manner of that God works through us and with us to accomplish his purposes, okay? God tells us in his word, how things are going to be and what's going to happen if we do not follow his directions, to the T. God doesn't work on almost. God doesn't work on, it's good enough. He's holy, and he expects us to be holy as well. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is in one spirit with him. Okay? Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral sin, man sins against his own body. You know, this is why people are sick. Huh? Do you remember when AIDS came out and the population that it came out in? When we commit immoral sins, we're sinning against not only God, but against our bodies. We are the unhealthiest people now in the world that we live in today. Even with all of our technology and the medicines and things that we have, it's because of sin. We're sick physically because of sin. People don't realize this, and they don't want to look at the truth of Scripture. But when we sin against our body, there's consequences against that. All these new diseases and viruses and cancers. Did you know cancer was in the biblical times? In Egypt, God caused tumors to come on the animals and people. So understand that cancer is not anything new. It's a plague from God. And the reason they've worked all these years to be able to find a cure for it, because God doesn't allow them to find a cure for it. We forget that God is sovereign over us all and what God allows and what God doesn't allow. And we have all these people trying to, and that's what man does, right? Is try to take the impossible that's with God and make it possible. And that's what religion has done. God has done something you can't do for yourself. And yet religion says, just say a prayer, get dunked in a tank back here, and we call it salvation. That is not salvation, okay? That's a lie, and it's been a lie for all these years, and now we got generations that are raising their children under these lies. You have to be born again, and that happens. No one can explain that. Not even Jesus Christ could explain how and when it happens. He said it just happens during your discipleship, and we're not telling people the truth about discipleship. Okay? These children that are baptized need to be told that this is about discipleship. And now you have become a follower of Christ, and now you try to apply the principles of God in your life, and you fail. And the reason you fail is because you're trying to do it in the flesh, and you cannot accomplish what God has purposed in our lives in the flesh. Only he can do that. You cannot please God in the flesh, and therefore you must be born again and have the Spirit of God living in you to carry out the commandments of God. You don't carry out the commandments to be saved. You carry out the commandments because you are saved, and he gives you the Spirit of God within you to help you do this. So there's this battle in your life between holding on to the world and following the commandments of God. And he left both of those natures in this earthen vessel that you see. And now there's a battle within us, raging. And if there's not a battle in you raging, you better ask God why I do not have a battle raging within me. If you can accept the ideas of the world, which are contrary to God's holy commandments, and there's not a battle in your life, it's a good indication that you don't have what the scriptures say that you have to have. Did you know that your body, listen to this, did you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? This building is not the temple of God. Okay, a lot of people and a lot of denominations think this is something that there's holy about this building. That this is a church building. How could God allow a tornado to destroy a church building? Because it's just a building, folks. Okay? You are the temple of God. When you become a child of God, the Holy Spirit takes residence in your life, and now you are the holy temple of God. Okay? It's not what you do that makes you holy. It's the presence of the Spirit of God in you that makes you holy. It's not based on your efforts at all. It's based on his presence. So what makes this morning service holy, and you to prepare to come in to worship Almighty God, is it says where two or more are gathered in his name, he'll be there in us, in our presence. So therefore, what makes this place holy is that the church gathers together and the Spirit of God is here, and now this is a holy place. And the moment we leave that door, this is just a building. Did you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? You've never been your own. That's a fallacy that we teach humanity. You've never been your own. You were created by God. He owns us. And then in the garden, when we sinned, and Adam was a representation of mankind, and when he sinned, we died spiritually and also physically. Of course, we're all going to die, and we're all going to stand before God, and we're all going to give account for everything and every word that's proceeded from our mouth. Does that not scare you at all? Does that not make you frightened at all? That you will be judged by every word that proceeds from your mouth and everything that's in your heart that God knows? Where's the fear of God today? Where's the fear of dying? Where's the fear of eternity in the lives of humanity? Because religion has come and said, oh, just say a prayer and believe in your heart that you're going to be saved. And guess what? Welcome to the kingdom of God. And that is a lie. That is a lie. You're not your own. You either belong to Satan and you're born that way, or you become born again and you belong to God. But when you're born again, you're not your own. When the Holy Spirit lives in you, you're not your own. You just don't get a free check to live the way that you want and say, hey, I'm going to heaven. But that's what you hear all the time. All these people say, I'm going to heaven. You know, we think that athletes and movie stars and singers, you know, when they stand before God, he doesn't say, oh, wow, man, Taylor Swift, I loved your songs. You come over here and sit by me and Jesus because, man, you just sing so good. And I really like how you do and all the people you've impressed on this this earth. She stands before him and says, I don't know you. If you're not born again, okay? If you're not born again and don't have the Holy Spirit, he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And these people go to the same hell as everybody else that doesn't know God. There's not a special place for them. Did you know that? We're the only ones that hold them in high esteem. We're the only ones that put athletes on pedestals. You know, guess what? They stand before God just like you do. So that little bum on the street that we call a bum, he's going to stand before God just like everybody else, with the same credentials. If you're not born again, then you're judged by the law, and the law says you go to hell, you suffer the wrath of God. If you're born again in the Spirit of God, then he recognizes the Spirit in you, and he says, hey, I know you. And therefore he says, come, and he welcomes us in. And I'm sorry, that's just the naked truth of Scripture. That's the naked truth of this manger, of his sinless life, the cross that he died upon, the open grave, the resurrection. That's the naked truth, folks, of what all this is written about. See, religion makes it about everything but this, because it puts upon man something that they can't do, and then they have to rely upon the mercy of a holy God. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that's not been taught for many, many years. For many, many generations, this has not been taught. And that's why we have the mess that we have right now. And all the people that are dying and going to hell, God says there's a wailing and gnashing of teeth. Why are they wailing and gnashing? Because they're getting something that they thought that they weren't going to get. Oh, I'm going to heaven. Well, what's the proof that you're going to heaven? It's not been about going to heaven at all. It's been about becoming the righteousness of God. And through that righteousness, you live a life, and you struggle through this life. A life of a child of God is a life of struggle. It's a life of battling the sin that's in your life. Okay? That's why that alcohol or drug or that prostitute or whatever, that homeless, that's struggling with this sin and never gets out of their life, but they're children of God, but they're battling it, they're battling it, and then they're finally freed when this death comes and this flesh is gone. But they're never comfortable in their sin. These people are never, ever comfortable in their sin. We have preachers that are in a pulpit that are comfortable in their sins, and deacons of churches and Sunday school teachers that are comfortable in their sins, teaching a false religion and a false God and a false gospel and a different Jesus than the Bible talks about, and they, their whole life, is not struggling with sin in their life. God expects us to suffer. I bet you never heard that before on a Christmas message, have you? God, when he saves us, expects us to suffer in the flesh just as his son did. And I can back that up in Scripture because it actually says that in Scripture, that we're to suffer with him in the flesh. You're not your own. Why are you not your own? In verse 20 it says, for you have been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. Huh? Freedom is not free. Freedom is not free. You've been bought with a price, and that price was God's only Son, Jesus Christ. He was born in an old, nasty, stinky cave, not a beautiful manger like you see here. I was going to buy a gift for the senior citizens, and it was a manger scene. It had the shepherds there. I mean, you know, it had Christ, but it had the wise men there at the manger scene. And most people don't even realize that how wrong that is. And so I couldn't buy it because I said, if I buy that, then somebody gonna give me a hard time about it, because as you see, our shepherds are, and our wise men are back in the back of the building, not up here at the manger scene, because the child was 2 or 3 years old. Jesus was 2 or 3 years old when they got there. But see how, and the reason I bring that up is because if you're not careful, and the children just accept the fact, and we have all these companies that are making these manger scenes that are not truthful. The wise men were not there. It was a stinky, nasty little old cave. Okay? The Son of God came and suffered in this flesh for you and me. His life was not pleasant. He agonized over the fact of the mission that God gave him. He asked God 3 times, is there another way? And it wasn't because he was going to suffer in the flesh. It was because that God would deny him, that God would forsake him. He never knew what that was like. He was born with the nature of God through the virgin birth. And he didn't know what sin was even like, because his nature wouldn't allow him to sin. And then here he's going to be on this cross, and he's going to become sin on our behalf so that we wouldn't have to suffer the wrath of God. And that was his agony in the garden when he pleaded with God, God, take this from me. If there's any other way we can do this, please, let's do it a different way. But this is the way that God chose, and him being the obedient son. Scripture says he could have called a legion of angels at any time. He could have called it off at any time. Do you realize he could have called it off at any time he wanted to? All he'd had to say is, angels, come get me. And he would have never had to do any of this. But being the obedient son in the nature of God, he pleased the Father, didn't he? And that's who we're supposed to become. But it comes with great effort. I don't just get born again and then everything is fine. It's then the battle begins to rage. But the difference in battling that battle in your life of sin on your own, which you always will fail, you now have the Holy Spirit to help you succeed. Success in the world and success biblically are not the same thing. Okay? Success in this walking with Christ is persevering through the battle, and those that persevere to the end will be saved, and you may never, never, never get to the point in your life that you think you ought to be. The success is the fact that you persevere, not that you conquer. Wow. See, in sports, you think winning is a success, right? But no, it's how you play the game that's a success. It's not whether you win or lose, but your integrity in the game. You play by the rules. And winning doesn't matter, but you grow through losing. There's more people that are better off losing than they are winning. Okay, it's what do you learn? Who do you become? See, it's not what you have, it's who you have. It's not what you have, it's who you have. And who you have should make you what you are. And what you are should dictate what you do.